We're back. Thursday edition of Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman, along with me, Joseph Cooper. How are you this afternoon, Bonnie?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent. We've got some a food and dining segment coming up. It is quite splendid.
Yes, it is.
Well, the Florida coral reef has spectacular sights, especially for the snorkeler or diver. The warm waters, tropical fish, and plants are truly astounding, but there's so much history to consider. The reef's been the bane of cargo ships and pirates, and actually the reef runs from north of Miami, well north of Miami, to the Tortugas. Joining us now from Isla Mirada is author and what he terms as a budding historian. He's Brad Bertinelli. Welcome to you, Brad. Good to have you on.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Hi, Brad. So the Florida Reef is the third largest barrier reef system in the world, and Joe just mentioned the area it covers, but could you give us its exact boundaries and dimensions?
394 miles, I think, is the exact number there. I'm sorry, 358 miles long. It goes from the St. Lucie Inlet to the Dry Tortugas, which are 70 miles southwest of Key West. And it consists, it's not a single reef, it's actually a combination of around 6,000 individual reefs.
Are the Tortugas considered part of Monroe County?
Yes. I'm not positive, but I would, I do believe they are.
I guess it has to be in some county, so it would be Monroe, yeah.
So is it the only one of the Great Barrier Reefs that's not a single reef?
No, they're all barrier reef systems are a combination of individual reefs that, you know, that make up the larger reef system. It's actually they're barrier reef systems because they are a combination of thousands of individual reefs.
So give us coral 101.
Coral 101.
What makes them tick?
They're not plants. They're actually living, respiring animals in the class of jellyfish and. They're called anthozoans. They start their life as meroplankton. They're free drifting in the water, and then as they mature, they start to settle down, and they settle to some piece of structure on the ocean floor, and that's where they truly become remarkable because it's not a single coral polyp, which was a single coral is referred to as a polyp, isn't all that exciting by itself. But what happens next is one by one, each species they form a colony. So one coral polyp settles, and then one settles next door, and one settles next door. And over the course of hundreds and thousands of years, these massive coral structures begin to materialize.
And what does it need to survive?
Clean water, nutrients. No boats running over them or divers kicking them with their fins.
Tell us the do's and don'ts regarding coral for snorkelers and boaters and divers.
The do's and don'ts. I like to refer to this as my the analogy I like to give is be a careful Godzilla. You know, when you're a snorkeler or a diver, think of yourself as Godzilla walking through downtown Tokyo. And the damage, you may not think of it, but when you're fin, they're a very delicate species, and a fin that scrapes. A coral could infect, cause a laceration, then, introduces bacteria, and that bacteria can kill a whole colony that's been growing for hundreds of years. Mm. So, don't stand on them, don't touch them, be careful if you're a boater not to run over them. And one of the major causes is when boaters throw their damage is when boaters throw their anchors overboard. They don't consider that, they'd see from the surface perhaps a bunch of rocks, what they think are a bunch of rocks, and actually they could be dropping their anchor on a coral reef system, on a colony, and that just is massively destructive. And what Reef Relief down in Key West, what they started doing was installing mooring buoys, which are ways to tie off near a reef system that doesn't need a anchor. You can just tie off with a bowline.
I know you're not a scientist, but what about the effects of global warming on coral in the reefs?
Well, coral, the water warms up, and corals are very sensitive species. They can they like their temperature, within a very small range. And when the water gets too hot, coral as a species is actually, they're very bland colored. They're, you know, basically a white. And the way they get their color is by a living algae called zooanthellae that invade the coral species and use the coral as a home. The coral benefits because the algae produces oxygen, which helps nourish the corals. And when the water warms up, gets too warm, and the corals start to stress, you may have heard the term of coral bleaching. And this is the act of the zooanthellae abandoning their coral home, which leaves the coral looking dead or a whitish color. And that's one of the effects of global warming. But one of the major concerns for the coral reefs worldwide is water quality. Now, with pollutants and water runoff and fertilizers and untreated septic, runoff from the land, these are all things that affect coral quality, the water quality, and damage, the habitat of the corals. If you consider a healthy coral reef system, will have 30-40% live coral coverage. And here on the Florida Reef, they've been down to about 3% live coral coverage.
Mm. So what is being done to protect them?
What's being done? They're trying to, I know down in the Keys, they're trying to get rid of the septic systems and have sewer lines that are connected without using septic tanks. Ken Niedermeyer with the Coral Restoration Foundation, he's been a pioneer. He's down here in Key Largo, and he's been raising corals and planting them out on the reef to help restock the coral reefs. And the scientists refer it, it's a the coral reefs are kind of undergoing a phase transition where some of the hard corals, there's two kinds of corals. There's hard corals called stony corals, and then there's soft corals like sea fans and sea whips that's called octocorals. And the soft corals are a little more, they can take a little dirtier water, so to speak. And so as the hard corals have been dying off, the reef has been being taken over by sponges and soft corals that are a little more resistant.
Tell me, Brad Bertelli, of course, you're the author of the book Snorkeling the Florida Keys. It's really kind of a fun little book to see with some great color photos of some of the beautiful fish that you can see on the Florida Reef. But let's get to the history briefly before we go on break, maybe going back to the pirate days and Black Caesar and that kind of business.
Well, it's the coral reef was the, as you said earlier, it's kind of the bane of the existence for early ships, and they back in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, the coral reef caused damage to many ships. They would not see the reefs, and maps were poorly drawn, and the ships were
They thought they were in deeper water.
Oh, they thought they were in deeper water, and they were reliant on the winds, and they had the navigational technology back in those days wasn't GPS and steam driven as it is today, and motor driven as it is today. So the ships were under the they were at the whim of the elements. The wind blew, and they would get pushed over and pushed onto reefs, and the currents would push them, and they would get hung up on the reefs, which was
bad news.
Bad news, and that's when the wrecking industry started to come into play.
So, what are some of the most famous shipwrecks?
Well, the first North American shipwreck to ever documented on hit the Florida Reef was the HMS Winchester, which struck in 1693. And that's the first recorded North American, shipwreck. A lot of the reefs are named from the ships that struck them. The Alligator Reef in Isla Mirada was named after the USS Alligator that struck the reef in 1823. And it was one of the ships that was part of the anti-piracy squadron. And back when they hunt down and clear the waters of the Caribbean and the West Indies of pirates. And that ship was on patrol in Cuba, and there was 45 Marines on board, and they pulled into Havana Harbor and were a little, they hadn't seen any action in a while, and they were approached by a couple of American sailors who had had their ship hijacked and it being held by ransom by some pirates. And they went into battle, and the they found the ships in a cove up off of Guajaba, Cuba, which is I guess southwest of Havana, and they engaged in a full-on pirate attack. And the commander of the Alligator was a man named Allen, Lieutenant Allen. And I don't know if you ever heard of Allentown. Key West was at one point called Allentown, and it was named after after the Lieutenant Allen who was killed in the battle.
Oh, that's an interesting fact. You can use that for a history quiz, Joe.
I'm jotting that down.
We're speaking with Brad Bertelli. He's an author and historian. His most recent book is Snorkeling the Florida Keys. And we're going to take a short break on Topical Currents. We'll be right back.
An octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see.
Well, Ringo wasn't all that great a singer, but that's
not bad. Not bad.
Of course, Octopus's Garden. And tell us, Brad Bertelli, about Lou Key and the Underwater Music Festival when they play Octopus's Garden there.
I was just thinking that as you were playing that song. The first Saturday after the 4th of July every year, Lou Key Underwater Music Festival is put on. It attracts between 500 and 600 snorkelers and divers. This will be the 29th year this year, and what they do is they lower speakers they go out to the reef, which is a fantastic reef, perfect for snorkelers. It's between 5 and 35 feet. Beautiful, beautiful corals, big schools of fish, one of the healthier corals reefs in the chain, as far as I'm concerned. It's one of my favorite snorkels. And they lower music, or lower Bluebell speakers into the water, and you can snorkel and dive around, and you can listen to the Beatles and Jimmy Buffett and whale songs, and it's a pretty fun little day.
Where would people learn more about that if they wanted? Because it's coming up. You said after the 4th of July.
It's the first Saturday after the 4th of July, and the Lower Keys Chamber of Commerce is the sponsor, so they have all the information on their webpage.
Tell us about some of the, you said it was a good snorkeling site. What are some other good snorkeling places that you've discovered?
Some of my favorites, beach snorkel would be Bahia Honda State Park off Loggerhead Beach. The problem with inshore snorkeling is that you're kind of at the whimsy of the elements. So if it's a windy day, because that's a shallow place, it can be stirred up and you know, a little murky. But when it's on a clear, flat day, you don't have to have a boat to see some really cool fish and some really cool corals. You can go right off the beach in 4 or 5 feet of water and see all the baby angelfish and all kinds of colorful reef fish, starfish, seahorses. Last time I was there, I must have seen 20 or 30 live queen conch running around very slowly. One of my favorites is Indian Key, which is kind of another inshore site. That is a great history/snorkeling site. It's a great inshore snorkel, but also a fantastic place to get out and walk a little piece of island history. It's a state park, and there in the 1830s was the second largest community outside of Key West. Full of had a hotel and a bar and a bowling alley, and this is like 1930 or 1835.
My.
Tell me, Brad Bertelli, years ago I remember I was snorkeling in the Keys and was able to dive down and touch the top of the Christ of the Deep. statue. Mm-hmm. Tell us the incredible history of Pennekamp State Park.
Pennekamp was a John Pennekamp, who was a
the editor of the Miami
Herald. Worked with the Miami Herald for 50 years. He saw that the reef was being torn apart with barges. People were out there, with barges and dynamite taking the conchs and the corals, and he was, he saw the demise of the coral reef and wanted to do something about it. And funny story with Mr. Pennekamp, they were trying to get the land necessary to, to get the state park, and he was invited to a chicken and rice dinner with some of the Florida state senators. And he needed $2 million, I believe, to buy some land, to buy the land necessary, and won it in a poker game.
Oh,
they were playing for small stakes, and John Pennekamp, went on a lucky streak, and the senators were like, why don't we just give him the money before he takes it out of our pocket? So that's when they were they went back to legislature, and they approved the money. And then in a couple of very generous land donations, the park system was given millions of dollars worth of land.
I would think you wouldn't serve the Florida senators chicken, but rather pork.
What about hurricanes, Brad? How do they affect the reef?
Hurricanes... there's actually a good and a bad component. One of the ways that corals kind of reproduce, they call it, I think it's called fragmenting. I'm not positive because, again, I'm not a scientist. But the coral branches, like in some of the elkhorn and the staghorn, some of the hard corals will fracture and fall off, due to the high winds and the waves, and the colony can spread that way. Interesting story about what the hurricanes can do, though. When the big, I can't think of the name, not the Vanderbilt, but the one they sunk off Key Largo 10, 11 years ago. When they sunk the boat off Key Largo, it was a massive 400 foot long boat. When they sank it, it sank on its side. And when Hurricane Dennis came through, the hurricane actually righted the ship. So they're powerful storms. But again, like forest fires in the Everglades, the fires help clean the brush out, and it actually can be an effective tool for maintaining the health and balance of the ecosystem.
What are these? Speaking of cleaning, what are these cleaning stations you talk about?
Cleaning stations. They're very fun to watch if you get lucky. Turtles, eels, fish, they get parasites on them. And what they'll do is there'll be a rock ledge that has been identified by the animals in that area. And a car will pull in, a fish, let's call it a grouper, pulls in to what is more or less a car wash system. And he stops, and then he lets some wrasses and cleaner shrimp come on to his body, and they come around and they pick all the mites the bacteria and also the
parasites.
Ticks. I can't think of the underwater equivalent here, but they clean the fish, of debris, and they actually go inside the mouth and. The fish will sit there with the mouth open, and these fish and these wrasses and these shrimp are able to go in and clean the teeth, so to speak.
Oh.
Once in a while, the little cleaner fish or shrimp will get snacked on, but it doesn't happen very often. Then again, every once in a while, one of the cleaner fish will take a little nip out of the host fish as well.
Right.
Brad Bertelli, you also have a Upper Keys walking tours that you do. How about a website where people can learn more about you and the book and the walking tours?
It's I have two websites. I have one, bradbertelli.com, which is a link to my books.
And it's like the olive oil.
That's Bertolli.
Oh, okay.
This is Bertelli, but you're not the first person to say that. growing up, it was always Bertinelli after Valerie Bertinelli on One Day at a Time. But my historic walking tours is historic UpperKeysWalkingTours.com.
Also, I think we should mention that those people who don't want to get in the water, you can go to Penny Camp, and they have the glass-bottom boat tours.
Absolutely. Yes, even Dennis the Menace went on that tour, you know, back in the 70s.
So what are some of the dangers that you encounter? I read a kind of fun fact, one of your fun facts, about what to do when you're confronted with a barracuda. Tell us that.
Barracudas get a bad rap. You know, sharks get a bad rap. Barracudas get a bad rap. Barracudas are very curious species, and they will follow you around, especially if you go to Cary's Fort Lights or Alligator Light. They tend to hang out underneath the lights in big, you know, in sometimes big packs. But and they will follow a diver or a snorkeler, you know, as they're going on their exploration. And what you do is turn around and swim towards the fish, and the fish will swim away.
How about
so they won't attack?
No, you're more likely to be hit by a car, bit by a dog, chased by a swarm of bees.
Right.
How about the snorkeling situation, say at Dry Tortugas National Park, where there's the notorious Fort Jefferson?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful snorkel. Even the boat ride out. I mean, it's a little inconvenient because it's a full day trip, but it's 70 miles. You can go on Yankee Freedom. They can take you can fly out there. They have seaplanes that'll fly you to the fort. They have boats that'll take you to the fort. It's a beautiful, pristine water. How the reefs used to look. Excellent snorkeling around the fort. Excellent exploration through the fort. It's bring your camera. It's beautiful.
Tell us about some of your efforts to preserve the Keys history.
Well, what was amazing to me is there were basically four men who have been in charge of collecting and documenting the Keys history. And none of them are spring chickens. The youngest is Tom Hambright down in Key West. He's in his mid to late 70s. Dan Gallagher, he just succumbed to cancer last year. He was in the Middle Keys. And then in the Upper Keys, we have Irving Eyster, who's in his mid-90s, and then my mentor, Jerry Wilkinson, who's in his mid-80s. Mm. And no one's really picked up the ball and tried to document, what's going on. And these people, they're not getting any younger, and we are losing a lot of history. So I have been, I began working with Jerry about 3 years ago, and he took me under his wing, and it's the more I learned, the more fascinated I became, which is really how this Snorkeling the Florida Keys book came out.
Are you a native of the Keys?
I'm a native of Southern California. I don't like the cold water or the traffic, so I came out to South Florida in 1989 and have been down. I graduated from the University of Miami in 2001 and promptly moved down to the Florida Keys, where I've been ever since.
So you've taken the baton.
I am taking the baton, and that's part of what my historic walking tour company is doing. I want to keep the history alive and share it, because there is so much fabulous history down here and it's so underutilized.
Well, we certainly want to thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you about the great Florida coral reef system. And Brad Bertelli is our guest. He's the author of Snorkeling the Florida Keys. So have a great day, Brad. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brad.
Bye-bye.
Food and Dining up next. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. And our Food and Dining Thursday has finally arrived. We're joined by chef, author, syndicated columnist, my good friend Linda Gassenheimer. Linda, it's feeling like summer here more and more. Heat and rain and here in South Florida. So tourism slacks off a bit, and you have some ideas of how locals can take advantage of that, right?
That's right. You know, Joe, I think sometimes we forget we live in paradise and we all plan vacations somewhere else.
We just think of the traffic.
Exactly. Well, how about a staycation? That means no travel problems, lots of interesting opportunities. You know, many hotels and resorts here have special programs and rates. And here to give us some tips is Andrew Pitter. He's the food and beverage director at the Delano Hotel in South Beach. Welcome, Andrew.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And everyone, he's just adorable, don't you think?
Funny? Well, I wouldn't know.
Now, don't embarrass him, Linda.
And more. Planning a
you think there's going to be some action on the beach this weekend?
I think there'll be a little bit of action on the beach.
Big weekend on the beach. And more. Planning a picnic, a day at the beach, or maybe boating. Well, how about a premium wine by the glass? And it's in a portable glass tube. It's developed by Sunny Fraser, and she's here to tell us about it. Welcome, Sunny Fraser.
Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. There's cute little tubes of wine here.
Well, she's very pretty, too.
Okay, cool. Good. So we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions for our guests or ideas for a staycation? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576 or 800-743-WLRN.
And also email, that's radio@WLRN.org, or Twitter, that's @topicalcurrents.
Oh, we've got Twitter now.
Yes.
Join the
21st century.
Yes, exactly. All right. Also with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He writes the wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column that you can see in today's Miami Herald. And you can read his wine column also in today's Miami Herald. Fred, are we celebrating Memorial Day?
Hi, guys. Yeah, well, I'm going to talk to Sunny a little bit about her wine, and then I'm going to talk about some good Memorial Day wine.
Sounds good to me. Well, let's start with Andrew Pitard. We live in South Florida. We plan to go away. Entice us to stay here.
Absolutely. Well, one of the great things we have at Delano is an amazing array of food and beverage opportunities, and our wellness spa that we've just launched, Essentia Wellness Spa. The minute you come into Delano, you walk in, your stresses go away, you see those wonderful curtains in the lobby.
Let's tell people about, this is the Delano South Beach, and mm-hmm. it's got all those white flowing curtains. When it was first built, I thought those will never stay clean. And they've been clean for years.
and it's amazing. You get, again, you walk through those linens just flowing in the wind. Your stresses just go away. You have this wonderful, iconic South Beach things going on in the lobby. And you know, we have this wonderful restaurant in the back, Bianca.
And I understand you're having some specials there. Now we're talking about all of this in season. It might be a bit pricey, but the special prices for out of season, and that's what we're talking about now, that you know there are hotels and resorts all over that are having special prices. So what's going on at Bianca this summer?
Bianca, we are launching a summer tasting menu. It's $49, running that all throughout the summer for dinner. You have these wonderful appetizers to choose from, crusted beef carpaccio that we do there with micro arugula, rigatoni. We're going to feature local fish there as well for the entrees. And then our chef, Luciano Sotto, has come up with these amazing amaretto gelato cones to finish off the experience.
They have a pretty mean lobster salad, by the way.
Yeah, which we've just been eating.
Now, this isn't part of Miami Spice. It's your own version of it?
This is our version of A Taste of Summer that we're going to launch here at Bianca again. This starts tomorrow. We have the summer tasting menu starting tomorrow, running all the way through the entire summer. And it's just a wonderful opportunity to come and experience everything that Bianca has to offer.
That's a good deal for the Delano.
And it does include a glass of Prosecco Rosé there as well. So for
$49. For $49, that's a bargain. Mm-hmm. Now, what if I want to just come for a day at the beach and I want to be luxurious?
It's a wonderful place to experience the beach. We have day beds, chairs out at the beach. We offer all of our...
Day beds are not beds. These are beach beds.
These are beach beds.
Okay.
These are not beds. These are beach beds, towels, and umbrellas. A great way to experience the beach. We have all of our food and beverage amenities out there as well.
So you could come and just rent it for the day. You don't have to be staying in the hotel.
No, you can come right out to the beach anytime you'd like.
Mm-hmm. I notice, Andrew, you call it Delano, and mm-hmm. most people call it the Delano, but you're calling it just
Delano. Just Delano.
No the.
There's no the.
Okay.
There's all no right. Delano. There's right. no hotel. There's just Delano.
So let's talk about some of the other. I mean, South Beach is such a fabulous place to be and all. What's happening in some of the other hotels there?
Well, there's a lot of things for the summer that hotels in South Beach love to do to entice guests from our Florida residents. One of the things we're doing at Delano, Shore Club, and Mondrian is a 20% discount for all Florida residents, and also discounts throughout on our different amenities during your stay as well.
So at the other hotels as well.
At the other hotels as well.
So what people should really do is if they have a favorite hotel or something, they should just call up and say, do you have any summer specials?
Which is a fantastic idea because every place on the beach during the summer is going to offer different things to entice.
Okay. And by the way, I Googled and I wrote in South Florida summer specials and a lot of them came up. So that's another way to mm-hmm. learn about it. But I think it would be great to be able to go my $49 dinner with that delicious dessert at the Delano.
At the Delano. Mm-hmm.
Well, talking about the beach, let's talk about what's happening at the beach. Sonny Fraser, you have brought this wine by the glass. Now, it's wine in a tube. And can we describe it? Can you describe it to us?
So it's a elegant glass tube.
Yeah, it's very classy kind of look to it.
Thank you. It's a seamless glass, and it's about 10 inches long, and it has a screw cap closure on it that's about 2 inches wide.
It's about two. So the tube is about 10 inches long and 2 inches wide with
Correct.
A screw cap. And it's very pretty. It's yeah. all glass.
Yes. Right. Yes. It's about convenience. It's about being able to have something accessible luxury, basically, is what we call it.
Right. So, Fred, I think you have some in front of you.
Yeah, I do. I do. Now let's see if I have this right. Sonny, you live in Miami, but you own Sunbox 11 Winery in California.
Actually, I do own Sunbox 11 Winery. It's our boutique winery, but the Vinny is actually separate from Sunbox 11. It is sort of a spinoff. We started off with Sunbox 11, and we had all of our boutique wines here in South Florida and Las Vegas and all the best restaurants and hotels, and we could never get our wines by the glass. And then I had this sort of epiphany when I saw this glass tube meant for sampling, and thought, how great would it be if we could do fine wine by the glass? And then I figured it had already been done, but it hadn't. So we set out to really create this product.
How many ounces is that, Sonny?
It's about 6.3 ounces, so it's a quarter bottle of wine.
Oh, okay.
So that's a very generous pour. Quite often in a restaurant, if you get wine by the glass, you get 4 or 5 ounces. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, we agree. We say it's a very ample pour.
Well, you know, Fred, what I thought was interesting, sometimes if you go into a restaurant and you get wine by the glass, you don't know how long that bottle's been open, you know.
Yeah, very true. It could have been open for quite a while. Now, I gather you're not supposed to drink the wine out of the bottle. You're supposed to. It would be kind of hard to swirl in there.
We don't recommend it. I've heard of people doing it, but it is high-quality wine, and we believe high-quality wine should be poured into a glass, allow it to aerate, and be able to enjoy it the same way that you would with any other fine wine.
Now, this first offering is, if I'm correct here, is a Napa Red Zinfandel and a Sonoma White Chardonnay?
Correct. They're blends, so it's Sonoma Chardonnay blended with Viognier, and then it's a Napa Zinfandel blended with Petite Syrah and an Oak No Merlot.
And Fred, I'm drinking it right now. The red.
I am too.
So what do you think when you're drinking? So Fred, drink with us. Tell us what you're tasting.
Well, the Chardonnay is nice. It's lively and crisp and kind of lemony and toasty, that sort of thing. It's quite nice. And the Zinfandel would be a great burger wine. It's lively and spicy and hearty and that sort of thing. Flavors of blackberries. Nice stuff.
Well, Fred, Andrew Pittard brought us this wonderful, Joe mentioned it earlier, this lobster salad.
Oh, yes.
From the Delano.
Well, but the Chardonnay is good with that.
Butter poached lobster with a little frisée, green beans, and Prosecco vinaigrette.
You poached the lobster in butter.
Poached lobster in butter.
Oh, if it's in butter, then Chardonnay is the perfect thing.
Yeah,
so how
delicious.
Else do you see this small bottle being used? Picnics and boating and that kind of thing?
We see it, one of our main markets is the hotel market, so as VIP amenities, in-room amenities, We see it for boating. We see it for weddings as favors. We also see it for everyday use, for people who just want to enjoy a great glass of wine every day, but they don't want to open up that great bottle. And also for restaurants, it really solves financial issues. What you were talking about earlier about how people aren't sure if the wine was opened and if it's fresh, how long has it been opened? This can be served sommelier style right at the table, opened for you and poured into your glass and showing you.
And what's the price range?
Retail, it's about $7.99 to $9.99, depending upon the location.
And where can we get it?
You can get it at the St. Regis Bow Harbor carries it, Eden Rock Hotel, PGA National, and then in retail shops, we have it at Vintage Liquors in Midtown, Joe's Stone Crab Takeaway, Anna Capri, Joanna's Marketplace. You can also go onto our website, and our website says all the locations. You just plug
in your zip code. VINI?
TheVinny.com.
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 You can order it online but you can find out where to go get it.
Right. No, you can order it online nationally. So nationally, it can be delivered to about 14 different states, the wine drinking states in this country.
Okay.
And then
mm-hmm.
also locally, you can purchase
right.
it here.
Mm-hmm. Right. That sounds great.
Now, I see that you're planning to let other wineries. Yes.
Okay. Just quick question because we need to go to a break.
Okay, I see that you're offering this bottle to other wineries as well to use for their wines. Have you got any takers yet?
We actually had takers before we even started, and we haven't signed any deals with anyone because it's an initiative that we're going to be doing probably later on this year. But we've had a lot of fine wine brands and portfolios come to us. They're very interested in putting their wines in our format.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
Thank you.
It really is, and we're enjoying it. It's nice to be drinking with you, Fred.
Yeah, here I am, this time of the day, having two glasses of wine. That's not bad.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Andrew Pittard from the Delano Hotel and Sunny Fraser with her with her Vinny Wines. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and our guests are Andrew Pittard. Pittard. He's the food and beverage director of Delano Hotel on South Beach, and he's been enticing us with some staycation specials for the beach, so we can enjoy a vacation right here in South Florida. No travel hassles. That'd be terrific, actually. No travel hassles.
No airport security.
Exactly. No tie-ups on the roads, whatever. And Sunny Fraser, she's the co-owner with David Gordon of the Vinny Wines. It's fine wine by the glass, and it's in a glass tube. It's really a beautiful glass tube, actually. It's great for taking along with you to the beach, to the boat, picnic, or just to enjoy it at home. But let's enjoy our dinner in minutes at home. It's dinner in minutes time. And today's dinner in minutes is a barbecued pork salad, and it's perfect for Memorial Day weekend because it has the barbecue flavor without heating up the grill. Everybody else at this time of year throughout the states is looking towards going outside. We're looking towards sometimes coming inside. And so it's a one-pot meal. You can make it for two people or you can make it for a crowd. I use pork tenderloin. I cut it into cubes and I saute it in the skillet. Then I add some barbecue sauce to the skillet just to warm it through. Put some lettuce, some corn kernels, some red beans, red kidney beans, walnuts on the plate, and I put some tomatoes maybe, whatever salad you'd like to have, put the pork on top, drizzle it with some dressing. Real simple, real easy, and that full recipe is in today's Miami Herald. Now here's another Memorial Day recipe. If you'd like, it's barbecued chicken wraps with barbecued corn on the cob, and all that is made on the grill, and you can see that at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. So, Fred, we've been drinking already today, so what else are we going to drink?
Well, as you said, Linda, Memorial Day is kind of a major landmark for the barbecue grillers of the world. In the north, it's the start of the grilling season because summer's arriving. But in South Florida, it may be the end of the grilling season, except for those hardy souls who are willing to brave 90-degree heat in addition to the 2,000-degree heat of the grill flames. But in any case, a new survey by the Weber Grill people says 71% of Americans do own outdoor grills, so it's a major thing going on. The question is, what kind of wine goes with all this? And for starters, I think you'd want moderately priced wines. You don't want to open a $100 bottle when you're probably paying more attention to the grill and the mosquitoes than you are to the wine. But you still want something good that you can enjoy. So if you're grilling burgers or steaks, Cabernet Sauvignon is a natural choice because it has the tannin to hold up to those black grill marks. And Rodney Strong Vineyards has a nice one for $18 that has blackcurrant flavors and big ripe tannins. It'd be a really nice wine for a steak.
That sounds like a good price for them.
It is. It's not a bad price at all.
Right.
And if you're doing chicken or pork or anything spicy with barbecue sauce, a Zinfandel, maybe the Vini Zinfandel is a good choice.
Well, she now has a smile on her face.
I imagine she does. And for chicken without the sauce, have another smile because you could drink the Viennese Chardonnay. Now, if you really want to dazzle your friends, here's the trick. Slap an inch-thick slice of ripe pineapple on the grill and get it heated through and covered with grill marks and serve it hot with a dollop of vanilla ice cream on it that will be melting into the pineapple. And with this, you would pour a glass of Vin de Glacière by Pacific Rim Winery in Washington State. It's a sweet dessert Riesling that would go just perfect with that grilled fruit, and it's only $15 for a half bottle. So let the barbecue begin.
All right. And we didn't mention that in addition to this wonderful lobster salad from Delano Hotel, Bianca at Delano, mm-hmm. he brought my favorite, a whole platter of desserts. Mm-hmm.
Cannolis there, truffles, mm-hmm. all kinds of delicious little treats.
Is that part of your dinner?
That is. We have a Dolcetti Misti that ends our experience at Bianca, which is one of our more popular desserts that we offer.
If you want to go over there on a summer day, should you have reservations?
I would highly suggest reservations. Not for lunch. Walk right in. For dinner, I would recommend reservations.
Now, that special price is for the evening dinner. Lunch is not included.
We will later this summer, probably middle of June, launch a lunch menu as well.
Great place to take guests. And just sit on the terrace there. And
it's so iconic, Miami. It really is. I mean, when you think of Miami, you think of Delano, and when you're at Bianca, there's nothing better.
Right.
Will you be joining the Miami Spice event in the later summer?
We haven't finalized Miami Spice as of yet. Right now we're just going to focus on our Taste of Summer menu until then.
Okay. And the other question I wanted to ask, The Vinny, it's called The Vinny, The Vinny, Sonny Fraser. You know, I always thought that small bottles of wine were not as good quality as having that same wine in a larger bottle. And here you're putting the wines in a little tube. So tell me about that. How does that work?
Well, we really wanted to make fine wine accessible, and we really took into consideration what it takes to put a high-quality wine into our format. We know that smaller formats, they do age faster, but we use a triple nitrogen method that really, it's a really high-quality method where we sparge and fill and dose with nitrogen to really extend the shelf life. So we've taken a lot of that into consideration, and you can really age your wine in this tube.
So you could lie this down, this little tube, which is so cute.
It's a glass tube, by the way. I don't think you mentioned that.
No, they've been saying
that. Recommend keeping the glass tubes in the cardboard box to keep the light away?
That is, it's a good idea, or just putting it into, like if you have a wine refrigerator, a cuvenet or something like that, that's how we do it. We just lay them down in there just like you do with any other bottle. But yes, it's best to keep it in a dark place, and it has an extended shelf life there. But, you know, it is a glass of wine, so we don't expect that people are going to be keeping them for, let's say, 5 years or more. But it does have an extended shelf life.
Why do smaller amounts age faster?
It's just the amount of space in the bottle, so they just age faster in a smaller format.
Okay. Right.
And these don't have to be laid down because they don't have a cork.
Correct.
So they can stand up.
Right. And we did the screw cap on purpose. We really wanted it to be convenient for people.
Okay. Well, this has been a really very tasty week. Andrew Pittard, Food and Beverage Director for Delano Hotel on South Beach. They have great staycation specials. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, thanks for that salad.
The delicious salad and the desserts. I took those. Sonny Fraser, co-owner of Vinny The Vinny Wines. Thank you for sharing your premium wine by the glass with us.
Thank you for having us.
Bonnie Berman and Joe Cooper, you ate well today.
Fun program today.
Yeah.
It's a tough job. It's a tough job we have.
Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Mail me some of that lobster salad, okay?
Yeah, right up your alley. Fred, you're going to just have to come and eat it with us, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, next week we'll be talking with Miami Herald restaurant critic Victoria Pesci Elliott about the new restaurant scenes here in South Florida. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
And that wraps up today's edition. Our producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction from Caroline Brader-Watts. Paul Leary is online producer. Thanks also to Michael Stock. More information, links, discussion, photos, and more at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Also free audio archives and downloads at our website, WLRN.org. Tomorrow at 1, it's Ed Bell and the South Florida Arts Beat. Monday is Memorial Day, so we return Tuesday with How the Unconscious Mind Rules Your Behavior. Today's recipe, dinnerinminutes.com. And today's calendar, on this day 1934, 79 years ago, fugitives Clyde Barrow and Bonnie Parker are ambushed in rural Louisiana. They were wanted for 14 murders during dozens of bank heists. She was 25, she 23. And on this day, 1937, 76 years ago, the death of industrial titan John D. Rockefeller in Ormond Beach, Florida, age 98. At one time, Standard Oil controlled 90% of U.S. oil production. And one more, on this day, 1945, 68 years ago, Nazi bigwig Heinrich Himmler commits suicide by swallowing a cyanide capsule one day after being captured by the Allies. Some say the corpse was a double. So we leave with a thought from John Davidson Rockefeller, a partner of Henry Flagler, quote, God gave me my money. I believe the power to make money is a gift from God to be developed and used to the best of our ability for the good of mankind. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman, have a great holiday. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.